After we understand the book of Romans, then we will be very clearly understand the difference between Christianity and other religion. A lot of people proclaim all the religions are the same. They all worship the same God, but only in different culture, they use different ways. It sounds very nature. It sounds very inclusive. The mindset are very wide open. But after we study the book of Romans, you will find out under the heaven, there's only one name relied on which we can be saved, and which is Jesus Christ. Only one way we can be saved, Jesus Christ. How come you are so narrow-minded? If we understand the book of Romans, then we know what we are talking about. Now, so the book of Romans is the theology about the gospel, where salvation come from. Why do we need Jesus Christ? How come besides Jesus Christ, there is no salvation? This is a very important book, the book of Romans. Now we come back to the Romans. We all have a teaching material. First, we look into structure. Why do we need to have a structure, right? We need to have a very big picture. If we understand the whole big picture, and later on, we study something in detail, we will not lose the big picture. And if we know the big picture, it helps us to understand the detail of the book, but because the detail attached to the big picture. Understand in depth of every verses, and it combines it together, and it becomes a big picture. And if we analyze the Bible, you can see there is a rationale, a very logic sequence of the Bible. So being spiritual doesn't mean you cannot be logic. Look into the Bible. It's a spiritual book, and Bible are very logic. There's a rationale behind, and each point follows the other point. If Paul is a lawyer nowadays, and Paul will be the number one, the top one lawyer in the United States. He was very well educated in that generation. So through the good education, he had very good tool to serve God. And that is the reason why we need education. It's not because we have education so God think we are qualified to serve him. Is it because education give us better tool? We can serve him more effectively. Look into the book of the Romans. From the chapter 1 to the last chapter, the argument of salvation in Jesus Christ is so logic. You can see he is so sober-minded. It's so convincing. There is no loophole you can find fault. We can divide the book of Romans in five sections. The first one is the introduction or opening or salutation. Then chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. Then after opening, I'll talk about the theme. Then from chapter 1, verse 18, then we enter into the main body. The main body is to explain the theme in detail. And the main body is first part is sin. Because if there is no sin, there is no need to have salvation. But if there is sin, unless we can resolve sin, otherwise we cannot be saved. So a lot of people, they don't think they have sin, so they don't need Jesus. And they don't think they have sin, not because they have no sin, but because they don't know God. So the second part is sin. Then followed by sin is redemption. If there is no second part, then there will be no third part. No sin, why you need redemption? But if there is sin, no redemption, then we are all perished. Just like a people, right? Almost get drunk in the ocean. But if you have no lifeguard, then definitely he's going to die. If people have sinned and there is a salvation, redemption, then eventually through the salvation, we will be saved. So the end of the third section will be the end of chapter 11. So the book of Romans can be separated into two sections, big sections. The first section is theological theology of salvation. It's chapter 1 to chapter 11. And the second section is life application. Life application start from chapter 12 to the end of the book of Romans. Sometime we heard a member commented, right? Our sermon is not practical because it's not relevant to life. Right? And some just commented, every sermon talk about life, but not depth, it's too shallow. So which part of, what kind of sermon is good? Only talk about life application, or we only talk about profound truth? If we read the letter written by Paul, just like a book of Romans, the first part talk about theology, the second part talk about the life application based on our understanding of the theology. So as a Christian, our life transformation have a foundation, and that foundation is our understanding of the gospel we receive. So only we understand the gospel we receive or the love of God, then our transformation of life, practical life, well, based on the rock, immovable foundation. Also, some of the people, they try to transform their faith, but cannot last long. Why? Because their faith is not rooted in their understanding of God. So these two parts are equally important. Theologically, we have to understand the gospel. Practically, we have to transform our life to match the gospel we accepted. So there are two fundamental big sections in the book of Romans. Chapter 1 to chapter 11, theology. Chapter 12 to chapter 16, life application. Now we look into the theme. The whole book of Romans can be summed up in one or two verses. What are the one or two verses? The whole book of the book of Romans. If we turn the next page, number three, the main theme. Main theme is chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Can anybody tell what is the main theme of book of Acts? The main theme of book of Acts? Can you use one verse in the book of Acts to describe the whole book? What is the theme of Book of Acts? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive Holy Spirit, right? And you will receive power. And then you start to bear witness from Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the end of the world. And so Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is a theme. And then after Jesus' ascension, start from later part of chapter 1, chapter 2, Holy Spirit descend. And then the end of chapter 2, Peter stood up and started to proclaim the gospel. 3,000 people converted, the first church being established. And then chapter 3, Peter started to preach the gospel. And chapter 13, and Paul started a three missionary trip to preach the gospel to the Gentile. So the whole book of Acts actually is a development of chapter 1, verse 8, right? The same token. So what does the book of Romans is talking about? It's a totally 16 chapter. The book of Romans actually come from chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. This is the theme. Okay, now we look into Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jews first, and also for the Greek. Verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why Paul will mention about this? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? We look into, if we trace back ourselves, put ourselves back to 2,000 years ago, back to the time Paul was preaching the gospel, right? At that time, the people in Greek, they are very well educated. Do you remember in the book of Acts when Paul went into Athens, the capital of the Greek, and he was preaching, and the country of in Greek, there are a lot of philosophers. So in the park, every people just stand up and to proclaim their own theological thinking. So in that environment, you think about a person who was well-educated, just like a Paul, and proclaimed a gospel centered on a person called Jesus Christ. He was a son of carpenter. He was an uneducated, right? And he did not have an outer appearance, and he did not have money, and did not have a formal education, and he was crucified to death. And so famous Paul, he was one of the Sanhedrin members. He was well respected as the Pharisees, and he proclaimed a person called Jesus Christ. To people look at, Paul, what are you doing? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? How come you preach Jesus Christ, right? If we put ourselves back 2,000 years, then you know why Paul said this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because the central figure of the gospel is Jesus. And Jesus has no, what? No. Outer appearance, according to the Bible. So a lot of people judge him by flesh, and they cannot know Jesus Christ. And then next say, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believe. Gospel is a good news. And what kind of good news? It's not something Amazon Day on sale, right? The good news is the power of God to save those who believe. And this is the good news. So according to the Bible, God manifests his glory in two parts. The first part, God manifests his glory in his creation. So the Psalm tell us, God show his glory in heaven. So if you look into the heaven, look into the sun, look into the moon, look into the star, right? And it is the glory of God. This is the first one. The second, God demonstrates his glory in his salvation. Today, if you can see a doctor, right? He can make the dead resurrected. The doctor will be worldwide famous, right? Make the dead resurrected, even without medicine, right? Can anybody doctor make that, right? Jesus Christ make dead resurrected. But gospel is even more powerful. It will make a person who is dead spiritually regain the spiritual life. So it's the glory of God. Today, if you go compete with somebody, just like Japanese wrestling, right? You can overcome the other party. Then you become the winner. That's your glory. And spiritual realm, the most powerful one is Satan. And gospel is to, just like what? You rescue the refugee from a very powerful enemy, and that's Satan. Jesus Christ was able to set the prisoner from Satan, right? Set them free. And that is the glory of God. So the gospel is the power of God to salvation. It's the power of God. And that is a spiritual power. God manifests his spiritual power so people can be saved if we believe. Now you look into Acts chapter 26, then you can know how come the gospel is the power of God. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Okay. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. To open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who sanctify by faith in me. Look, gospel is the power of God to open our eyes, to see spiritual realm, which you cannot see by your physical eyes, and it is the power of God. Right? Open your spiritual eye to see the invisible world. And gospel is the power of God can change you from darkness to light. Oh, darkness referring to death, light referring to life. Can make a person from death to life. Oh, and darkness referring to sin, and light referring to righteousness. The power of gospel can change a person from sin into righteousness. Oh, it's the power of God. Oh, and gospel is the power of God to release us from the control of Satan. Satan controls us through sin. So we release from the power of Satan, then we can be transferred into the kingdom of God. And it is the glory of God. And gospel is to forgive our sin, right? It's just like most powerful attorney, right? You hire the most powerful lawyer in a criminal case, he can argue to a point that you can be set free and to go, right? And gospel is this kind of power. And lastly, gospel will make us to have inheritance in heaven. And this is the power of God. We come empty-handed, we go empty-handed, but if we receive the gospel, we will not go empty-handed. There will be inheritance in heaven waiting for us. So that is the gospel, the power of the gospel, to save those who believe. Now we come back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So the requirement to receive this power is belief, our faith. Two persons, one believe, one don't believe. The one who believe will be saved by the power of God in the gospel. The one who don't believe will not be saved. So the key point is whether we believe, we have faith. Jew first and also the Greek. Because in the Old Testament, Israelite was chosen people. So they have the privilege in the eyes of God to receive the gospel first. And then after that, the gospel will be preached to the Gentile. And how does God save us? Verse 17. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. This is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God, right? Righteousness come from where? Righteousness come from right. Right? Everything is right, then we have righteousness. If something is not right, then we are unrighteous. But everybody, right? Everybody, we always think I'm right, right? Right. Why we think we are right? Because we use our own standard to judge ourselves. And what is our own standard? First, my own feeling. I feel good, so I do it. Is there anything wrong? All right. The second, we use the social norm, right? Everybody do it. The culture promoted. So what's wrong with me? I'm part of the society. I just follow everybody. So we will not feel we are not right because we follow our own feeling or we follow our own standard. We follow the culture. But when the Bible says righteousness, Which means use the standard of God to judge us. Use the nature of God to judge us. Use the will of God to judge us. The standard of God. The standard of God has three. Whether we are right or not, there are three. The first is God's word. And the God's word is the teaching of the Bible. Whatever we think, whatever we do, whatever we speak, if we use the teaching of the Bible to measure it, is that right? If it is right, then we have righteousness. If it is not right, then we are unrighteous. This is the first standard. The second standard we measure ourselves is conscience, right? Conscience. Conscience is part of the divine nature God gave it to us. If in your whole life we never do anything against to conscience, probably we are righteous. But anybody never do anything against the conscience? If we do anything against the conscience, then we are not righteous. The third one is God's nature. God's nature is perfect. God's nature, the deity of God, is perfect. So if our nature is different from God's nature, then we are not right. What is God's nature? First, God's nature is love and compassion. If we don't have love, if we are not compassionate, then in the eyes of God, we are not right. The second, the nature of God is holy and pure. If we are not holy, we are not pure, then in the eyes of God, we are not right. We are unrighteous. So the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. If we want to make it a more understandable parable, the righteousness means white clothes. God is holy, all right? So God has no sin, but we are not holy. So if I want to make friend with God, I want to make peace with God, what should I do? I have to put on the white garment so that I can approach the righteous God. And that white garment called the righteousness. And righteousness have two kind of righteousness. The first one is the righteousness of man, which means the white garment you create by yourself. The second is the righteousness of God, the white garment prepared by God himself. So the gospel is the righteousness of God, the white garment coming from God. And this right garment available for us from faith to faith. So what does it mean from faith to faith? From the time we believe. Right? Believe in Jesus. Right? And Jesus Christ give us the white garment. To faith, to the last moment of our life. And because we continue to believe in Jesus Christ, so that white garment is still available for us. So that means from faith to faith. Let's look into the book of Hebrew. The book of Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 12. Hebrew chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Author means our faith is given by Jesus Christ. Oh, right? Oh. So we come to the church, we study the truth, and Jesus gives us faith. We believe the teaching of the Bible. And then we receive the water baptism. And that time, we are justified. We have the white garment. We have the righteousness of God. We have the white garment. And then he is the finisher of faith. But what does that mean, he is the finisher of faith? The Bible says there is a what? Faith, hope, and what? Faith, hope, and love, right? In the future, when we go to heaven, do we still need to have faith? When you go to heaven, do you still have faith? Yes. Now let me ask you, when we go to heaven, do we still need to have faith? You think we still need to have faith? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Or you're fast and too hungry. Okay. When we go to heaven, you think we don't need to have faith? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Okay. And you don't know? Raise your hand. Okay. When we go to heaven, you already see Jesus by face, you don't need faith, right? Because if you look into Hebrew chapter 11, faith is something what we cannot see. It's something we hope for. Assurance of something we hope for, right? But when we go to heaven, your hope already realized. The last hope to see God face by face already realized in heaven. Something we cannot see. God, you cannot see, so you need to have faith. But when you go to heaven, you already see God. So in God, in heaven, you don't need to have faith. Final destination there. So that means finisher of faith. When you reach to heaven, faith finish. Okay? But when we go to heaven, love, we still need to have love. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 means love will last forever. So Jesus Christ is the issuer. You come here, God give a faith, you receive baptism, he's the finisher. When you finish all your journey, reach to the heaven. So from faith to faith. Let's come back to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. The righteousness, the white garment of God, right? Revealed from faith to faith. From the time you accept Jesus Christ until the time you see Jesus face by face, from face to face. That means the time we die. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. If we have faith, we will be justified. Means our sin will be forgiven. Then we will live forever. So that's called just shall live by faith. God told Adam, the time you eat, what is going to happen? The fruit, the time you eat, what is going to happen? You don't know. God told Adam, the time you eat this fruit tree, what is going to happen? You shall die, right? Right. And Adam and Eve, we always say, Eve loved Adam very much, right? Why? Because she shared. Wow, this fruit is so wonderful. I'll give to Adam. You must eat it. When both of them eat, both of them die, right? Now, what can we do? That death means spiritual death. That means cut off God's relation with God. And that death means physically we will die. So when the Bible mentions about death, there are two kinds. physically, we will die. Spiritually, we cut off our relationship with God. We don't have eternal life. Now, if we want to regain the life, then we have to remove the sin. If we cannot remove the sin, we cannot have life, physically or spiritually. So the just means the one who has no sin, called the just. And how come we can have no sin? Because we believe in Jesus, right? And he give us his righteousness. He give us the righteousness of God to cover us, cover our sin. So we shall live. We are going to have life forever because we believe in Jesus. So that's called the just shall live by faith. So in the world, there are many, many religious founders. They teach people a lot of so-called good teaching. But there is only one people who can really save us. And he is the one who can give us the white garment. He is the one who can really remove our sin. And he is Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. Faith means believe in Jesus. Believe him as my Savior. This is called faith. So this is the main theme of the book of Romans. We are going to have 10 minutes break. I'll come back. Then we go into detail of chapter 1. Let's pray in silence.